This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi. This is the life of Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, with your host Suhaib Webb. Sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome to the program, The Life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm your host, Brother Suhaib Webb, and this is our sixth program. And really, as I mentioned in the last program, I feel so humbled and honored to be describing to you and giving you the events of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this khalisan li wajhi, and to make our hearts sincere for his sake, and to guide me to say what pleases him, and protect me from saying anything that will earn his displeasure. We begin our next program, and we stopped basically at the 15th year of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's marriage to his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And we said basically from the 13th year to the 15th year, the signs of prophethood began to appear in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The family was extremely concerned, and finally in the 15th year of the marriage of Khadija to the Prophet Muhammad, the answer to what was going on was revealed to him and to humanity. And in the month of Ramadan, and this was a month, as we mentioned in our other programs, that the Prophet Muhammad used to go to the cave of Hira for 1 month at a time, and that usually was the month, or actually was the month, of Ramadan. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his 15th year of marriage to Khadija, in the month of Ramadan, experienced the beginnings of prophethood, and it was an extremely powerful experience. Aisha radiallahu anha, in the long hadith that we alluded to in our earlier program, turns over the narration of this hadith to the Prophet Muhammad and begins to quote him directly. And she says that the angel came to him and said to him, Iqra. The Prophet Muhammad says, that the angel came to him in the cave of Hira. An angel appeared in front of him, came to him and said, Iqra. Iqra means read. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded and said, Ma ana biqari. I cannot read. The Prophet Muhammad said, after he said this, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنَ الْجَهْدِ. He says that the angel squeezed me and grabbed me with such intensity that I felt all of my energy would go out of me. In another narration, not found in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, the Prophet Muhammad said, the narrator says, حَتَّى رَأَ الْمَوْتِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Until he thought he saw death, he thought he would die. Then the angel let go of him and said, اقرأ, read. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِي, I cannot read. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنَ الْجَهْدِ. Then the angel grabbed me and squeezed me until I felt again that all my energy would go out of me. I felt that I would die. Again the angel released him and said, اقرأ. The Prophet said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِي. The angel again grabbed him and squeezed him until he felt all of his energy would subside and leave him. And then the angel said to him, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ اقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقَ اقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. The angel grabbed the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ the third time and then released him and said what would be the first revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity, which would last for the next 23 years. And this night is known as the night of power, the night that the Quran was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verses say, Iqra, read, O Muhammad, in the name of your Lord who creates, who created men from a clot. Read, and your Lord is most generous, who taught man by the pen, taught man what they know not. There are some important points that we need to make about this night. Many people assume that the entire Quran was sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not correct. In fact, if you read in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sending the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ. And the form of this verb, نَزَّلْنَا, it means that something is sent to you piece by piece over time. So through these 23 years of prophecy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. We sent down to you piece by piece by piece, in proportions, the Qur'an. Unfortunately, this is something that you don't get from translation. But if someone has a good understanding of the Arabic language, they'll get these subtle meanings. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we sent the Qur'an down to you, O Muhammad, piece by piece by piece, so that you could explain what has been sent piece by piece by piece to people. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the night of power, Al-Qadr, he says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. أَنزَلْنَا. أَنزَلْنَا means to send something all together at one time. The entire thing was sent. So here we find in these verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا. We have sent down completely the Qur'an and the night of power. What happened on that night is that the Qur'an in its entirety was sent from Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is the preserved tablets, to a place called Baytul Izzah. Baytul Izzah is a place in the heavens. And from there, from Baytul Izzah, over the next 23 years, the Qur'an would be sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the agency of Jibreel. It is very important to understand this point. If not, when someone reads the Quran, they might get confused. So on that night, the Quran was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we take also the lesson that the Prophet said, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنَ الْجَهْدِ, that the angel would grab me and squeeze me and hold me so tight. And the ulama said, because this is هكذا العلم, يعني this is knowledge, and the knowledge of the Quran is so great and so mighty that it requires effort and it requires work. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr that if we sent the Qur'an on a mountain, it would crumble. So the Qur'an was sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this night, and thus the communication between the all-knowing, transcendent, omnipotent Lord of all began. From that point on, over the period of the next 23 years. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he left the mountain of Hira, or the cave of Hira, and went down the mountain, where's the first place that he's going to go? Who is the first person that he's going to turn to? And Aisha radiallahu anha says that his heart was pounding with fear, was terrified of this experience. In fact, you know, it's an important lesson here that we take in our daily life, that when we go through hard times as people who call to Allah, as, you know, people who are out there working, people are going to school, you know, we face hard times, we face difficult tests and tasks. Who is it that we're going to turn to? It's our spouses. And it's important as spouses that we be there for each other. As the Prophet Muhammad said, Al-mu'min al-mu'min kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'dun ba'da, that the believers are like one building and they support each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that the believing men and the believing men and the believing women are supporters of each other. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately he went to his wife, because behind every good man is a good woman. I mean, you look at Islamic history. I mean, look at the four great imams. Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik ibn Anas, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. How many of you knew that two of them were orphans? Imam al-Shafi'i was an orphan, he was raised by his mother. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he was an orphan, raised by his mother. Imam Malik ibn Anas, the life-changing experience which caused him to even become a greater student of knowledge as a young boy, although he was on his way to being a great student of knowledge, but what pushed him the extra step was his mother Aliya, rahimahullah. Who's the greatest relator of hadith in our nation? It's Imam al-Bukhari. And subhanAllah, we find that Imam al-Bukhari was an orphan raised by his mother and his uncles, and that it was his mother who gave him permission to stay in Mecca to become the great scholar that he was. So throughout Islamic history, we find that women have given countless numbers of blessings to this great nation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ran to his wife Khadija, and he was terrified. And in fact, the narration in Bukhari quotes him as saying, لَقَدَ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. I am scared for myself. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha gave a response which will, you know, echo in the halls of history until the end of time. She said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كَلَّا لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. No way, there is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ever put you to distress. And then she started to say why. She said, because you keep the relationship of kith and kin. You help the weak and the poor. You are generous to the guests. And you help anyone who is in the cause of truth. SubhanAllah, brothers, here's a very important lesson, right? Many times when you find, you know, families having disputes, you know, the brother will say, man, my wife brings back all the bad things I did. You know, 10 years ago, I burned a jilbab, or 11 years ago, I was late to pick her up from Jummah, or, you know, 7 or 9 years ago, I did this and that and that and this and this and this and this. SubhanAllah, here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned in our earlier program, his good character is coming back to help him. You know, it's like a racquetball, right? You shoot the ball, you hit the ball, and it comes back to you. Your character has a racquetball effect. If you shoot good character to people, what's going to come back is good things. If you shoot bad character to people, what's going to come back is bad things. So for husbands and wives especially, it's important that we have good character, because one day, as in this example right here, that good character is going to come to save us. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calm, Khadija bint Khuwaylid took him to her relative Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and she brought the Prophet Muhammad to him. And Waraqa was around the age of 80. He was up in his years, especially living in those days when the medical treatment was not as advanced, of course, as it is now. She brought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And she told Waraqa, and Waraqa, by the way, he was a scholar and he was a Christian, and he was very familiar with the Jewish and Christian texts. She brought the Prophet Muhammad to him and she said, Ya ibn Am, O the son of my uncle, Isma' min ibn Akhik, listen to the son of your brother. Again, this doesn't mean that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father was a brother of Waraqa, but this is an expression of respect. And it's important as Muslims that when we talk to older people, we use expressions of respect. Like in Urdu, you don't say kaise hai to an older person, you say ab kaise hai. In Arabic, you say ya am or ya siddi. In English, also we use sir and ma'am and so forth. So it's important that when we talk with older people, and especially our teachers and people of knowledge, we use terms of respect for them. And here we find Aisha, Khadija, radiallahu anha, doing so. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Waraqa what he saw. And Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he responded by saying, هَذَا نَامُوسَ أَلَّذِي نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُوسَى. This is the same angel that was sent to Prophet Moses. The scholars, when we mention the name of Waraqa ibn Nawfal, we should say radiyallahu anhu, because the scholars of our faith believe that Waraqa ibn Nawfal, in fact, was a Muslim because of the conversation that we're going to witness now that took place between him and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing that Waraqa said, and I want the young brothers and sisters out there in the hood to pay attention to this answer. Waraqa ibn Nawfal said, يا ليتني كنت جذعا. I wish I was young again. Why does he wish he was young again? Because he knew that if he was young, he could help the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, most of the helpers of the cause of truth were the young. SubhanAllah, look at our young Muslim brothers and sisters now. They can memorize code for Xbox games. They can stay up at night and study for finals. But yet, very few of them have memorized the Quran. Very few of them have memorized over 300 or 400 hadith. Very few of them have memorized even more than 20 hadith. Very few of them are out actively calling in the da'wah. SubhanAllah, but here we see Waraq ibn Nawfal saying, Ya laytani kuntu jada'an. I wish that I was young again so I could help you. So our young brothers and sisters out there, ask yourself, are you helping Tyra Banks? Are you helping J-Lo? Are you helping Justin Timberlake? Are you helping, you know, Marilyn Manson? What are you helping? Are you helping the cause of Allah and His Messenger? Have you been chosen to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger? We're going to take a short break and we'll return discussing the conversation of Waraqa ibn Nawfal with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we plan to take a number of important lessons from the conversation of Waraqa, as we have just done, and also the early verses of the Quran that were sent to the Prophet Muhammad after that time. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد sallallahu alayhi
wasallam. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Brother Suhaib Webb. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he told Waraqa, when he informed Waraqa ibn Nawfal exactly what he saw, Waraqa was very, very surprised and very happy. And as we said, he said that this is the angel that was sent to Moses. And indeed, I wish that I was young so I could help you. Help you in what? إِذْ يُخْرِجُكَ قَوْمُكَ. When your people throw you out. Here's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most popular person in Mecca, one of the most popular persons in Mecca, married to Khadija bint Khuwaylid, who was the most popular woman of the women in Mecca. In fact, the Meccans had given her two names. One of them was Sayyidatun Nisa al-Quraysh, the master of the women of the Quraysh, and also Al-Tahira, the pure and truthful woman and clean woman. So here's this extremely popular family being told that the people who look at them in such a popular way are going to turn against them. What a challenge. What about you guys in your schools? You're like, man, I should be a good Muslim, but what will my friends say? You know, I was talking with a brother one day. He had a really short beard and he had it cut, you know, in one of those really Rico Suave type beards, right? And he was asking me, what should I do? Should I have a big beard or no beard at all? Or should I have it like this? I said, you know why you don't want to have a big beard? He said, why? I said, because you know the girls won't think you're fine with that big beard. And he said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I wear my beard like this so people would think I'm cool. So the popularity issue that we all face at school and that we all face in our jobs, you know, sometimes in the corporate America, we're asked to do many things which violate the principles of our religion. Here we see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beautiful wife Khadija, one of the most popular families in Mecca, being told that these people who value you are going to throw you out. In fact, look at the response of the Prophet. He said, "Awa mukhrijihum? They're going to throw me out?" And Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he said, "No man came with what you came with, except إلا عدي, except he will have enemies. See, whenever you call to the truth, whenever you work for the truth, have the glad tidings of being a stranger, of غرابة, being strange. The Prophet Muhammad said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا فَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرُبَاءِ. The Prophet Muhammad said, Islam started as something strange, it's going to go back to something strange, so give good news to the strangers. And many scholars said, فَطُوبَ, give good news, means actually give them the glad tidings of paradise. You young brothers and sisters, man, to hold on to this religion, you're gonna meet hardship. You're going to meet a ton of peer pressure. And as Sheikh Sayyid told us, counter a pressure with a pressure. The pressure of truth will always overcome the pressure of falsehood. But be ready for it. So the Prophet Muhammad was told this. And after that, the revelation stopped for a while. And Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the scholar said he died around 3 or 4 days later. From this time on to about 2 weeks, no revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this disturbed him greatly, and he used to go to the mountains and even contemplated killing himself, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, because he was disturbed about what was happening to him and what was going on around him. Not mentally disturbed, not someone as the people who would like to antagonize our faith will have you believe, but he was upset inside himself. And Sayyid Qutb radiallahu anhu, he talks about the disturbance and the sadness that came upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not as being some type of psychosis or mad disease, wa ya'adhu billah, but his sadness was because he was away from the Quran. When the Quran came to him, it was like water being given to thirsty camels who had been crossing the desert. It quenched the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus he yearned for more Qur'an and more Qur'an, as Sayyid Qutbi mentioned. How many of us as Muslims, when was the last time you picked up the Qur'an, man? Sister, when was the last time you just spent some time alone with the Qur'an? When was the last time we read the entire Qur'an? Was it this Ramadan, the Ramadan before, maybe 10 years ago? We see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sad to be away from the Qur'an. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent some verses, but prior to doing so, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go to the mountains, and he would see the angel Jibreel, and Jibreel would comfort him and say, Ya Muhammad, ana Jibreel wa anta Rasulullah. Oh Muhammad, I am Gabriel, Jibreel, and you are the messenger of Allah. This happened a few times, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I saw this angel jalisun bayn ala al-kursi bayn al-sama'i wal-ard. I saw this angel sitting on a chair between the heavens and the earth. Finally, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Jibril appeared to him, overtook him and he fell to the ground. And he got up and he ran to his wife. Again, where can men go out there facing hard times, trying to get jobs, struggling? They're going to go to a loving wife, a wife that will be good to them, not a wife that will say, where you been all day? How come you didn't do this? But a wife who's going to greet them and love them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ran to her and said, "Dathiruni, dathiruni, zamiluni, zamiluni, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me." And she covered him, radiallahu anha. And then the verses of the Quran were sent in Surah Al-Mudathir, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Ya ayyuha al-mudathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rujza fahjur." وَلَا تَمْنُوا تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. SubhanAllah, these verses actually make up the foundation, or one part of the foundation of our tarbiyah as Muslims, our training as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad, as he's covered up, hidden from the world, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرِ, O you who are covered up, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, stand and warn the people, arise and warn the people. Like us, our Muslim community, especially after 9/11/01, the tragic events of 9/11/01 have even pushed us further into our shells and into our caves, hidden from the people. But you have to realize that the da'wah and the propagation of Islam is what's going to save us, man. So we as Muslims have to also lift up these covers which we have over ourselves. I mean, many of our masajids don't even have signs on them. Why? Are we too scared to put a sign on the masjid, man? Something might happen. Qum fa'andir, brother. Get up and warn the people. After the verse came, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, and the rest of the verses, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called who to Islam first? He called his wife. And Sheikh Abdul Karim Zaidan, in his monumental book, Al-Mustafada min Qasas al-Qur'an, for the book called The Beneficial Points from the Stories of the Qur'an Related to the Caller and the Call of Islam, he says that after these verses came, the first person that the Prophet Muhammad called to Islam was his wife. Why did he do that? Because, Sheikh Abdul Karim mentioned, the first person that a husband has to teach is his wife. How many of us, we attend durus, we listen to lectures, we go to hear different mashaykh, and we come home, yeah, I want to watch TV, baby, yeah, let me read the paper. But the first thing we should do is share this information with our wives. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to take a short break now, and inshallah ta'ala, we plan to return discussing the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in greater detail. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
In the year 595, and during the peak of Islam in Spain, the great philosopher Ibn Rushd passed away. During his lifetime, Ibn Rushd was educated in various fields, among them Islamic jurisprudence, philosophy, and medicine. Taking advantage of the great libraries in Cordova, Ibn Rushd advanced to then be remembered as one of the greatest philosophers of Spain, whose influence on Europe remains until the 16th century. Out of his 87 books that survived, the most famous one, called Collegiate, mentioned the importance of medical prevention, diagnosis, and medications. He died in the year 595. This has been A Minute of Muslim Civilization from IBN.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the program. Let's summarize quickly what we talked about today. We talked about the beginnings of revelation that were sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we talked about the beautiful speeches of Aisha radiallahu anha. That some ulama said, one scholar said, I heard the khutbah of Abu Bakr, of Umar, of Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum, but I never heard a better speaker than Aisha radiallahu anha, as related by Al-Dhahabi in his book Siyara ala Manubla. We talked about how the da'iyah should use the best means of propagation and the best means of communication, like here our brothers at IBN.net, using the internet and using the radio through the internet to propagate the message of Islam to so many people. We should also take the lesson of how the Qur'an came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the weight that the Qur'an had on him. And we also took the lesson of the statement of Waraqah about youth and facing hard times. And we finished talking about the husband teaching the wife. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.